A Deeper Dive is brought to you by Zero Hour Health, the industry leader in health crisis prevention and management. Zero Hour Health will help you create a culture of safety, preventing health crises before they make headlines. Their suite of services are tailored to protect your employees, customers, and your brand. Visit ZeroHourHealth.com to learn more.
Can a slider concept use modular buildings to get big? Hello, this is Jonathan Mays, editor-in-chief of Restaurant Business. And in this week's episode of A Deeper Dive, I speak with Maria Rivera, the CEO of Small Sliders. Smalls is a rapidly growing quick service slider chain. The company has been quickly adding locations throughout the South over the past year using its cans or 750 square foot facilities that are manufactured off site and placed onto the restaurant site where it can be connected and then opened. Maria calls them cans, and she talks extensively about the potential benefit these cans can have on franchisees' ability to open locations more quickly and more strategically, along with the potential financial benefits. We talk about the chain's history and the simplicity of its menu. Customers order sliders, fries, drinks, and shakes. We talk about the company's franchising strategy and its plans for growth. It is a fascinating conversation with the CEO of a fast-growing slider chain, so please have a listen. I am here with Maria Rivera. Maria, welcome to the podcast.
Well, good afternoon, Jonathan. It's great to see you again.
All right. So tell us a little about who you are and what you do.
Well, I happen to be the chief executive officer at Small Sliders, which is one of this year's emerging brands, most recently named one of this year's 2023 breakout brand of the year. We are based out of Atlanta, Georgia. It is an Atlanta-based company, and we are in the business of making cheeseburger sliders out of 750 square foot modulars. We call them cans. They're a combination of C-can and modular, and it is what I would consider a next-gen QSR brand. I know a lot of people say that, but you know, in our case, it's all about being disruptive, different, having a unique product offering, and doing it in a way that is meaningful to the consumer that we're attracting.
Explain the modular piece.
Well, we have modular facilities that are modular buildings. They are 750 square foot in size. Mm-hmm. We produce them in a manufacturing facility, actually three manufacturing facilities across the country, soon to be four. And we bring them with restrooms and partial kitchens and all of that completely done into a finished pad. And we lift them up in the air. We drop them. It takes about 27 to 29 minutes from the time we take it out of the truck and into the ground. And then we connect them and then it becomes a restaurant, right? It has to go through permitting mm-hmm. and all of the things that typical restaurants go through, but it is a different way of servicing. It's a different a service environment. I wouldn't say service model because, you know, we know what small footprints can do, but it's a different service environment. They're actually mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the benefit for operators on this one?
It's interesting because I've had this conversation with a couple of people. You know, the modular is not new, right? Our mm-hmm. most international environments and big brands like Yum, et cetera, do modular in the international space. And it's been very effective for a lot of years. And here in the U.S., as you know, brands like Seven Brews and Dutch have attempted to do or lead with modular. Of course, they have evolved and done stick builds and done a bunch of other things. So modular is not new. And there are significant benefits to modular. Most of it is on the depreciation schedule. It is treated as a piece of equipment. So it has 7 years, over 30 in a traditional build. So there are significant tax and depreciation benefits for a franchisee. In our case, we have chosen to lead 100% with modular, which, you know, it's not only a decision that we've made, it's something that we're pretty bullish about. And it does require that we become modular experts because, to my knowledge, today, not one brand is leading fully modular. And that is a big ask, especially as you go into different operating environments, different, you know, states, regulations, in those states, beautification committees, name it. So let's just say that I have become pretty good at the modular game in the last couple of months. I feel I have a master's, soon to be a PhD in modular build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, I know modular obviously is not new, but I don't know of another concept that's doing full on nothing but modular going forward. Now, were you familiar with modular with this style in your previous lives?
Well, certainly on my last rotation through mm-hmm. Krispy Kreme, we had modulars in the international business, mm-hmm. not in the U.S. So in the U.S., the domestic business, which is a business that I led both operationally and, you know, from an administration standpoint, we did not play the modular game, but with a lot of success in the international footprint, particularly in the Middle East. And there's some very cool things that the teams across the globe did at my prior brand. But, you know, when you watch what is happening in the space, I think that brands that are growing incredibly well international are actually doing a lot of work with some people that we know, right? Livit, for example, does a lot of work on the modular space. You know, there's a lot of big brands purchasing modulars out of Poland. UAE has defined the way you think about modular and modular expansion. So, It certainly forces you to, if you're going to lead with modular in the U.S., you really have to learn from other parts of the globe to be able to execute it. And you very well know that Yum has been playing this modular game for a long time, for sure. Internationally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of companies are very different internationally than they are in the United States.
Yeah.
Now, are there benefits for your franchisees in terms of, I assume that there's going to be some benefits in terms of speed of construction, but what about,
of course,
what about cost to open?
Well, as we continue to, you know, this has been a very interesting journey. Let's first mm-hmm. talk about the space and modular at large. You know, there's to lead a brand through a modular lens, you have to educate a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You have to educate your franchisees, both in the benefit. You have to educate your modular builders because they're really your manufacturing arm. And you have to make sure that they're able to meet the demand. When you model this, there is a significant benefit to a franchisee. It's less time from the moment you drop the can till the moment you're operating, right? So that time period gets reduced by 30, 40% from what a typical build would look like. The name of, or the challenge that I have put on the team is, how do we get even faster and better at dropping, connecting, and getting open? Because that's a real value creation for the franchisee, right? The faster they can open, the faster they can get to profitability, and the faster they can pay this. In terms of the cost, modular costs are very, very standard. You know, a Dutch, a Seven Brews, you know, a small sliders, they're all going to cost about the same. And I think we all face the same challenges. How do we get modular to do what it needs to do for us? Meaning get the cost, metal, cost of the pad, all of that to not suffer as much inflation as it has most recently, particularly cement. You would think we're dropping gold on the ground. But, you know, farther out is, how do we make these modular environments to be more the norm and less customized? So, you know, I think some brands have done an incredible job saying, okay, well, I'm going to choose to build it myself. You know, Dodge decided to go down that path a couple of years ago. That's not where my headspace is at. I don't want to absorb that part of the business, at least today. I do think that, you know, vendors make or break the program at Smalls. And if we find the right people that can help build modulars for us the right way, and it's not just three modular builders, it could be up to six, then we can get to market faster. The other cool thing is that you can have 2 to 3 developers in a particular state dropping simultaneously. And it allows you to control your market entry better. You're not waiting on the next region. You can map out the way you're selling your markets and the way your development happens. So then you can maximize your market entry dollars. So when you model that, which is a lot of project management, when you model that, it's actually pretty cool to see it all come to life. You also are able to drop more units in a year. You know, we started our franchising journey last April, and we will, everybody knows because I've made it public that we have over 125 units already under development. We will close the year above 150, not even a full year of franchising, all multi-unit deals, 6 to 8 units, nothing larger than that. So we can control the number of developers that are entering states and that are dropping simultaneously so we can maximize our marketing and brand awareness dollars on behalf of the franchisee. So one of the things that we have learned is that as we continue to drop cans simultaneously, we are able to then be more comfortable with how many states or how many markets we're selling at the same time. Like, for example, when I chose to open Texas, which I didn't want to open at the very beginning, I think I've also said that publicly, we chose to sell in pods, Houston, Dallas, Austin. You know, we have over 35 cans under development just in Texas alone. And it allows us to bring those markets up in a cohesive way, one after the other next year, and commit to more openings. You know, we will drop over 40 units next year.
Really? So you can, so let's say you so when you like, you open like say the Dallas market, just to say an example, you were able to open how many of these at the same time because you were able to?
Yeah, you can open, if you have the real estate, you can open 2, 3, 4 because you can manufacture them, have them sitting there and they arrive, you know, literally on a flatbed and we drop it. And then simultaneously you're open the market. So you have less variability and you can control that. Of course, not without a lot of project management. It sounds easy. There's a lot of mechanics. There's 2,600 lines behind every single one of these cans, but it allows you to control your development and take more ownership on how you want to drive entry to market, which is very critical for a brand. I do think that if you're not disciplined in how you enter markets, you can dilute yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How? What about the lifetime? How long do these things last?
Well, they have all the warranties that you want them to have. Of course, they last, you know, 20 plus years. But, you know, we are absolutely making strides in defining what next level modular looks like. You know, one of the things we've challenged ourselves for next year is to drop a full kitchen. You know, not have to wait for vendors to come in and install kitchen, like add modular facility, have our kitchens installed, and then come in fully ready to just do minimal hooks and even reduce our time to open by an additional 25%. That sounds really cool. I can tell you that there's an army of people working on that, but it's a good enterprise problem to solve for. And I would say in a day in which the consumer is disrupting themselves at a faster rate that brands can shift and move, having this nimble approach to your business and operating model is such a cool thing to have to work through. And one of the things I personally challenged myself when I chose to take on this role was to stay really agile and nimble and build this Uber for capabilities model that was less about bureaucracy and more about how do we help the franchisee have their value creation faster while delivering on the brand outlook and brand promise. And that requires great operating brains and start up from all disciplines and a pretty innovative team to drive that forward.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So we end up spending the first half of the podcast talking about modular buildings, which I didn't expect. So let's talk a little bit about Small's background. Where could you tell me, give me a little brief note of its history?
Of course. 2019, Brandon Landry, which we all know and love, also created Walk-On's Sports Bistro. It came up with this idea. as the story goes, and I actually believe the story, he made the first slider in the back of his house in the kitchen, called Todd Graves, his dear friend, hey, coming over. You know, I think I have something here that is pretty cool. Todd gave his blessing. We all know that Todd Graves is like master and commander of all things one product brand and has done an excellent job at Raising Cane's. And Smalls was born out of a trailer. And over the course of the pandemic, serves the communities in Baton Rouge out of a trailer. They had built the first big brick and mortar, but, you know, there were a lot of unknowns. The brand wouldn't exist, or the concept would not exist, without Drew Brees, who actually funded the first two locations. So we wouldn't have Smalls as we know it today if Drew hadn't believed in Brandon's vision and had come in as a partner early on. And Drew is also a partner at Walk-On's, right? And they have a very, very good relationship. They've been on for years. I find Brandon fascinating. The guy has more ideas in that backpack than anybody else I know. And I love concept people because I don't think like them, right? So I translate their brains, which is pretty cool to do. Fast forward, Scott Presley and Tom Wells and Marvin Groves from Ten Point were at a Walk-On's board meeting. And Brandon, in typical Brandon fashion, said, hey, come on over. I want to show you something. It wasn't a pitch. It was truly showing him the slides, showing them the slider. And Ten Point goes, okay, we don't do this, but we're going to come in and invest heavily and scale this brand. And what led on to next is, you know, a national search for a CEO that believed in the journey, was crazy enough to lock arms and, you know, go in and do this. And we met many months before I decided to take on the role, and we had a lot of conversations about what this could look like. And for me, I've always wanted to do something from the ground up. It had to be something that I truly believed in. And as I was sitting outside of Blue Bonnet in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, watching that, you know, 30 car stack that never stopped, and thinking, what in the world is in these cheeseburger sliders? I said, you know what? This thing has a lot of potential and a lot of legs. I think somebody needs to tell this story. And if we're going to tell this story, it's going to be me. So, and then I met Biggie Smalls, which is my favorite slider. And there I was hooked. I do think we have excellent cheeseburger sliders, by the way. And I'm not just saying that. Having been in one product brands for a long time, I have lots of opinions over a product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is it, what do you think, what is it about the concept that you think gives it the potential to, you said it has potential. What is it about the concept that?
Well, it's different. It's uncomplicated. You know, operation simple is hard, right? So there's nothing simple about short order cooking. I've said that before. That said, it's uncomplicated. It's, you know, the consumer understands it. You know, when you're thinking about the user experience design, the customer journey design, it's very much something that you understand. You're either going to order a combo 1, 2, 3, or 4. You're going to get 1 slider, 2 sliders, 3 sliders, 4 sliders, drinks. You're going to get fries. You're going to queso. You're going to get smalls because we dunk our sliders in sauces, right? You can eat them that way. It's uncomplicated. It's small on purpose by design. There's no more than 18 items that you count. You count in 30 minutes. And for those of us that have been in operations, counts in less than 20 minutes, in less than 30 minutes are a beautiful thing. You can manage your inventory well. It's an uncomplicated business model. And we attract a lot of generations, not just one. We know that our base is millennial parents, alphas and Zs, and not a lot of brands are attracting alphas. You know, we started our TikTok account because we had kids commenting on it all the time. They're little cheeseburger sliders, you know, they're cute. So I think when you have something that resonates with people, because it's uncomplicated, because it's approachable, because it's authentic, and then on top of that, it has a little bit of an attitude, that sort of David and Goliath story. I think that's prime. That's a brand that can disrupt if you can operate it well, and if you can actually be disciplined enough to not get caught in the game of, do you want chicken sliders? Do you want pork sliders? Right? So simple actually is very much a brand filter that we use. And I'm not even going to tell you how difficult it is to land the simple filter all the time as we're making decisions for the brand.
Yeah, I'm looking at the menu right now. I mean, it kind of looks like the, I mean, you can kind of tell Todd Graves' fingerprints on this a little bit.
Well, I think Brandon will tell you that too. You know, obviously it's, there is something to be said about simplification and being bullish about it. You know, it's what I love is that it stayed true to who Art Brandon is. You know, the only thing he ate as a kid was cheeseburgers. So it's where he wanted to go with his parents. You know, he comes from a small town in Louisiana. He was a picky eater. So for him to then create this beautiful puck that is, you know, you smash and you actually, a lot of people, I mean, burgers is one of the most loved foods in America, but to have them to be small and to be full of punch and flavor, I think that's such a, that's very, very cool and very promising. It's very filling. Two of those things are quarter pounder. So I would say that it's an uncomplicated menu that, yeah, you know, all great brands that have started in Louisiana are have uncomplicated menus.
Yeah, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I, you know, my general view is that the U.S. restaurant business is sort of demassifying, which means that the U.S. consumer is not really interested in going to one concept for eight different things. I don't necessarily want to go to a burger restaurant and get a fish sandwich. I want to go to a burger restaurant and get a burger. I want to go to a chicken restaurant. I want to get chicken. I mean, there are some exceptions, you know, like McDonald's, I guess, is an exception. But McDonald's sells convenience as much as anything else.
Correct.
And I think this idea to me of a very simple menu is like really appealing, as long as it's something that people will eat enough of, which I Correct. Guess is a pretty key point. And there's no particular reason why they wouldn't eat sliders all the time.
You know, it's been a very much when you stay open to understand your consumer insights and your analytics and listening intently to your consumer and having some humility as you're doing that, you learn very quickly what people want. I get asked this question all the time is, do you think there's enough white space in the burger category? Mm-hmm. Our AUVs seem to say so. So, you know, people want a great product. And if it is delivered well, cooked well, if the brand makes you feel something as you're experiencing it, they're gonna come and they're gonna buy your product. You know, we open locations with miles wrapped around the building. And, you know, I've worked in brands that have, you know, wrapped drive-throughs. It's humbling to see how people like get so excited about the orange can dropping and then, you know, 6 weeks to 8 weeks later, going to the same drive-through where they saw the can dropping and having a cheeseburger slider. And they're, again, we dunk them. So it is very much about cheeseburger sliders, fries, milkshakes, smoss, which is a proprietary item for us, and queso. And who would have thought that dunking cheeseburger sliders and queso would be so popular? We also do fried smalls ways, which is we put smalls and queso, and those things are so good. So it's been fascinating to understand what the consumer wants from us. You know, when I ask guests, what the smalls mean to you, I hear so many cool things. And most of them are centered around, I just want to hang under the canopy with my kids and just have a great meal and not think. And people don't want to make decisions sometimes. You know, they're so exhausted from making decisions, especially over the past 3 to 4 years. So if you can provide that level of authenticity and simplified service, then I think you're going to win. But again, it requires that you stay very steadfast to what you're doing. Because I've also led in organizations where you take a detour and then it's not a fun thing to work through.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to franchise this concept?
Strictly because of the value creation model. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that if I was a franchisee, I would personally do this because it's straightforward and if you follow the program, And we disclose, by the way, our performance, and we are very transparent with our franchisees once they sign and they have an NDA. If you follow the program, you will make money. And, you know, we would have to, of course, mess it up, and hopefully we won't do that. But, you know, that's why we have to be so strict about our food's quality, and we got to make sure that, you know, our food safety is top of mind because we're on beef product. If you actually follow the program and we do our job on your behalf, if we drive traffic to your location, if we drive the right level of technology and leapfrog innovation that you need to run less labor, if we really continue to optimize the way we take a can from 2 million to 3 million, then you are going to have a good day in the neighborhood as a franchisee, and you can start making money immediately. It is also a very big decision for a CEO, because you are choosing to put the brand in the hands of developers from day one. So it does require that you are very centered in your ability as a franchisor to deliver the level of service that your franchisees require so they can be great operators. And that's the challenge, which is not easy, because a typical franchise organization or environment, you know, we're licensing you and then follow the program. That's not the case when you're building a brand. I have to help our franchisees run their businesses like if I own them all. Mm-hmm. And we have to be massively aligned and working side by side. So the vetting process is so critical for us. I mean, I don't have a gun to my head to sell 300 units. I could have done that. I've said no to 100-unit deals. I want to make sure that I can look at myself in the mirror, because today's franchisee, their confidence in their franchisor is at an all-time low, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have to make sure that we can build something remarkable and not just something that is going to fizzle. So there's a lot happening in this brain all the time.
Yeah. 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 Interesting. So what's the growth strategy going forward? What's the plan? Are you sticking, you going all over the place? You sticking in certain regions?
Yeah, we only have 8 states I've been today, Jonathan. We, you know, these 150 units are all out of 8 states. We'll open 5 or 6 additional states in 2024. We're being very methodical, Southeast, and then we have our path to get to a national brand. We're not going to go all over the place. You know, you're not going to, we take a lot of inspiration from people that have done it really well. In-N-Out, you know, I think Dutch has done a great job. They have great operating capabilities. I have a lot of admiration for what they do from a people standpoint. So I will tell you that this, for us, being very specific in our market development, and we have done our job and our work in all 75 DMAs, but being able to do that in a very disciplined way matters to us. I'm not going to open states that we can't support. I mean, we're registered, but I'm not going to do that. So, you know, we'll open 5 or 6 states next year. We are on the path to sell out Texas very quickly. I can tell you that. So that will be our second state fully sold out in less than a year. And which I didn't want to open Texas last year. So it's been incredible to watch this level of engagement in Texas, especially because there's some beloved brands in the state of Texas that happen to sell burgers. We're taking a very disciplined approach in the way we are really following the franchise growth model. We're also going to build some company cans. We need to build some so we can test, measure, make sure that we are holding ourselves to the same standard that we hold our franchisees. But this is primarily going to be a franchise business.
Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. I always think interesting that a brand that got started in a trailer is expanding with modular units.
Well, I think it's cool. Works, you never know. You could see mobile cans in the near future. Never know. We'll have to wait and see.
Maria, this is great. Really appreciate you joining me on the podcast.
My goodness. Thank you for giving me the time. It was great to connect with you a couple of weeks ago in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always admired and respected your work so much. So thank you for giving me the time.
And that should do it for this week's episode of A Deeper Dive, which was edited, as always, by Spoons, artwork by Nico Hines. You may find this and other episodes of the podcast on our website at www.restaurantbusinessonline.com/article/deeper-dive. Or you may subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'm Jonathan Mays, your host, podcast producer, and the editor-in-chief of Restaurant Business. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of A Deeper Dive, brought to you this week by Zero Hour Health, the number one health advisory firm in the food service and hospitality industries. If you want to learn more about how Zero Hour Health can protect your business, check out zerohourhealth.com.